Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio back in its normal place after a trip to College Park yesterday. A tough one for the Nittany Lions. We'll get to that in a sec. But it is the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, a great service department and sales staff, and it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com, the home of the repeat customer. So we got Neil Kuhl on coming up a little bit today to get into some Steelers talk. Some interesting comments from Kevin Colbert meeting with the media yesterday, giving the nod to Mason Rudolph for now, because really there's nobody else to give at this point, but he gave the vote of confidence to Mason Rudolph. So we'll get into that more with him a little bit later on. But first, getting into Penn State, that was a very disappointing and frustrating loss last night. Now, and again, I can't say I was necessarily surprised by it, considering the inconsistencies we've always seen with the program, but if they were going to try to maybe take another step to continue that win streak, to put themselves in position to really finish off on a run and take advantage of what is still a very favorable schedule to end the regular season headed into the Big Ten tourney. And you're tied at halftime again after another low-scoring half from Penn State, and you're holding the opponent down there as well. And then second half, you have the two big guns from Maryland start to get hot a little bit. But then this is where Penn State, to me, lost the game. Maryland, who is not a great team at all, didn't score in almost the last 6.5 minutes. It was about the 6-minute mark till about the 1:45 mark, something like that, where they were scoreless. And Penn State missed some free throws, and they missed some easy shots, like less than mid-range jumpers, some layups. I mean, those are shots you have to make and take advantage of when you have a team that's in a scoring drought like that. If you make all those shots, it's a much different ballgame. Maybe Penn State finds some last-minute momentum, like they nearly did after the John Hara bucket and one that at least got it to a 5-point game before he missed the foul shot at the next point. And the Penn State just didn't take advantage of those opportunities last night. So that's what I thought was the most frustrating. It's one thing about the shooting woes. We've known that. But when you don't convert on the easy shots like that and the free throws, and don't take advantage of a 5-plus-minute spurt at the end of the game when your opponent doesn't score, especially an opponent like Maryland, who's not a very good team by any means, that's really, really frustrating. But team is still continuing to grow. You still have seen some good things this year, especially from Micah Shrewsbury as coach himself. Maybe not fully consistent on the court yet, but you can tell things are brewing behind the scenes. And this thing still has to build up a little bit. But that was definitely a frustrating loss last night. And Micah Shrewsbury even said he wanted that game badly last night. And you could tell the frustration there. So, but that was a tough one for Penn State last night. But elsewhere in college hoops, of course, we got the Juwan Howard decision that came down as far as what the punishment is for the brawl that took place post-game at Wisconsin over the weekend. It was made in conjunction with the Big Ten in both schools, Michigan and Wisconsin. Howard suspended the rest of the regular season, which is 5 games, and he's fined $40,000 for hitting a Wisconsin assistant coach. Wisconsin coach Greg Gard fined $10,000 for violating the conference's sportsmanship policy but not suspended, which I kind of really... I know we touched him, but I don't think it was meant to be in a malicious way, so I'm not... I don't really understand that fine there for Greg Gard. And the other players that were suspended, Terrence Williams, Musa Diabate, and Jacoby Neath from Wisconsin and Michigan, all were suspended the game because all three appeared to throw punches. That's basically what I thought would come from them. Again, as I said in the show yesterday, I would have suspended them the rest of the regular season, and I would have fired Juwan Howard. And I think this is definitely not enough by any means. And I get the fine is the biggest in conference history or whatever, but I can care less about that. This guy should not be on the bench at all anymore. And I made that quite clear yesterday. However, I will say this. This is more of a slap on the wrist than I thought he was going to get. I was pleasantly surprised by this yesterday. I thought maybe at most Juwan Howard would get like 2-3 games.
On some sort of roll here. There's so many things out there for you to hate.
Well, I mean, I was actually pleasantly surprised by Juwan Howard's punishment yesterday. I thought maybe he'd get like 2-3 games tops from the Big Ten. But but at least he's out the rest of the regular season. Still not nearly enough for me. But
well,
at least there's that.
No, I mean, obviously, I mean, as the person in charge of the job guillotine, you would not be happy about it. Look, first of all, let's start with this. And I do try to explain the rules as often as I can because I think you have to. Believe it or not, there is a limit in the Big Ten as to what you can do. And the limit, and do you know what the limit is?
I did not even know there was a limit, so no.
Oh, that's why I'm on the show.
Exactly.
I'm so glad. I'm sure management's
That's why I set you up, to enlighten us with this information.
And believe it or not, the maximum the commissioner's office can is $10,000 and 2 games. They have to go to a special group within the conference to then get dispensation, essentially, to do more, which in this case they did. But believe it or not, the maximum is $10,000 and 2 games. The fact that it's 5 games and $40,000, that's how they worked it out. And Gard got $10,000. And, it's... And look, to me now, it's water under the bridge. It's up to Juwan Howard now. Whether he put this statement together himself, I have no idea. I'm going to guess somebody else wrote it for him, but he signed off on it. Okay, and that's not me putting down. I mean, that's just the way these things work. I'm not saying that but it was sincere. Whatever they put out was sincere. I think he also knows that he's at the point, if there's something else happens, his job now does come into play with something else. Because the Mark Turgeon incident last year, where he had to be held back in the Big Ten tournament, does come into play here. Because to me, this is a big one, but it's strike two. As you know, I didn't advocate for his job, but then again, I'm actually the person on the show with a heart. You know me, I don't call for people's jobs. I mean, it's got to be really something where I sit back and go, hey, whoa, enough's enough. I always love people on Twitter who call for other people's jobs. Hey, I had to fire them, the whole thing. So, well, is anybody out here calling for your job? I mean, no. I mean, how would you feel about them calling for your job? No. So I try to keep that in mind always. I would have gone for the Big Ten tournament as well. That was me. I made the statement yesterday. But you know what? Okay. Now we know what it is. He cannot be around the team at all. So he can't coach a practice. He can't be in the facility. He can't go to Chrysler Center. He can't, you know, he can't break down film with them. He can't do Zoom calls, any of that stuff. Not allowed to. Phil Martelli is going to coach the team the final five games of the season. And, by the way, they're in really good hands because Phil's a heck of a coach. Personally and professionally, I like Phil, and I've known Phil for 35, 36 years, maybe. Good man. And they're in good hands. You're talking about a guy that's been to the Elite Eight as a head coach. He knows all the ins and outs. And so that's the deal. Guard gets $10,000. Wisconsin's going to pay his fine. You know, they say he shouldn't have to pay it. Okay, that's their decision. Whatever. And the players each get one game. Musa Diabate, Terrence Williams, and Wisconsin's Jacoby Neath each get a game because they were swinging. This is not enough for Matt. He wants the entire Michigan program shut down. He'd like to see Wisconsin shut down for 2 weeks.
Actually, I don't think Wisconsin should have been touched, period, except for the player that threw the punches. I don't even get why guard is fine, to be honest with you.
In my personal opinion, I think it's appeasement to Michigan. He touched him. It's a handshake line.
Yeah, exactly. There was no malicious intent there.
I know. He was trying to stop him to make a point. That's all he was trying to do.
I mean, I hate this appeasement stuff. I really do. Well, if he didn't do anything, don't punish him.
It lacks common sense, but that's what I think happened. But now it's water under the bridge. Now everybody, let's just move forward with it. Basketball last night. Penn State in the second half committed 9 turnovers. They had turnovers on 27% of their possessions. When you are a low possession team, you cannot win when you have 27% of your possessions end in turnovers, because those are possessions that are ending without shots. And what really compounded it last night was that several of those turnovers were LBTs, live ball turnovers. And then when Penn State really knuckled down defensively, Maryland went 5 minutes and 27 seconds without scoring a point. 5:27, no points. Penn State made up some ground, but they just did it in little tiny bits. They couldn't get a run together. And frustrating. It's interesting. There has to be a different mindset, too. And different mindset among the fan base and the people that cover it, everything. I've been hearing about, if they can win on Friday night, they put them into Thursday and da da. I don't look at it. You know what? How I look at it? You win on Friday night. You want to know why? Because now it gets you closer to Indiana with 7 wins. See, I look at what's in front. I'm not looking behind. Sorry, I'm not a rearview mirror sports guy. Now I'm looking for, like, what can I get here? Beat Northwestern, beat Nebraska, come out of the week with 8 conference wins, put some heat on Michigan, put some heat on Indiana. That's how I look at it. I don't look at it, they can get a little separated to the back. They have quit separating to the back. Win some games, put heat on the people in front of you. That's how I view it. I've always viewed it that way. I've never looked to the back. Never have. And I always look at, who can we get here? Who can we pick off? Okay? Let's move up in the stand. That's how I've always looked at it. And that's how I'm viewing this weekend coming up, starting with Northwestern on Friday at 7, then Nebraska Sunday night at 7. Those two teams, by the way, play tonight at 8. The other game tonight is Michigan State, Iowa. All right. I'm going to talk about the Big Ten TV package And the fact that the delay in the college football playoff could help it. Next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Well, I respect, you know, whatever the Big Ten decision they make, it's up to them, and I will respect whatever decision they end up making.
Oh, my almighty!
Well, I don't think you have much of a choice except to respect it.
Yeah, good for you, Juwan.
You know, oddly enough, every time I've talked to him, he has spoken very highly of you.
That's great. Yes.
All right. I will get into two elements later in the show here. One is the Big Ten contract for TV, which I've referenced many times, and is critical to the future of intercollegiate athletics here and across the board in the conference. And also baseball. The negotiations are not going the way the negotiations should be going. They should be sitting down and talking about how the game is played right now, too. That needs to be a part of what's going on. And it's something that should have been talked about since July. And Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated wrote a fabulous, fabulous column on that today, which I want to reference at some point. Very quickly in the Big Ten, how can the Big Ten benefit from the college football playoff not expanding? Believe it or not, now that it's currently off the table, which means there won't be additional bidding until the next contract comes up, now you have networks sitting there. They're not hoarding cash, but they're looking around saying, hey, cash we might have thrown into this, well, we may have available. CBS, of course, will no longer have the SEC in a couple of years. More cash available. NBC has $100 million now off the books. You're asking, probably, Matt, how NBC got $100 million off the books.
I am.
Oh, God. Do you follow sports? Because they're not carrying the NHL anymore.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
No, it's okay. That's why I'm here. I think these things through, okay? It's okay. So now they've got an extra $100 million to play with. Now, I know the NFL is going to tap more from everybody, but they're all going to make that money back plus. Here's the Big Ten, the next major contract coming up with 25% of the population in its footprint. And when this is all said and done, because the college football playoff for the moment is off the bidding table, the Big Ten may be the beneficiary of it, not just short term, but long term. And then when the college football playoff comes up, they'll not only have their contract in place for a period of time, but they'll also add the added college football playoff expansion money in there. See? So there actually may be a benefit to the Big Ten in the current bidding cycle because now it's become the sport to bid on.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. Service department that takes care of everything, inspections, routine. Diagnostics, they handle it all. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 at 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Anything else to complain about? Paul O'Neill's going to have his number retired. Is that bad? Or
that's about time, to be honest with you.
Oh, no question. He's one of the 500 greatest Yankees ever. All right. And was really good on Seinfeld. All right.
He was, in fact. That's the only Seinfeld episode I've ever watched.
What, that he was in?
Correct.
Oh, you'd love the one with the spitter. Oh, my goodness. Where they did it. It was... Seinfeld did stuff that I don't know if you can get away with today. Jack and I talk about that all the time. Jack and I say, I don't know if this show can air today. All right. So Paul O'Neill's going to have his number 21 retired. I mean, it's going to get to the point where the Yankees are going to have guys with triple digits out there. Number 117. Well, why is that? Well, we retired at 92 numbers. I mean, sort of need more.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
See, that's why I'm not a big believer in retired numbers. I'd rather do a ring of honor. Because you need numbers. You need numbers. That's okay. Yeah, if he has his number retired, Tino Martinez should have his number 24 retired, don't you think?
I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, he only hit key home runs and like took a mediocre defensive infield and made it really good. Other than that, and really, believe it or not, the Yankee infield really was mediocre defensively. Including Jeter.
No, you're right.
I mean, that's why when they got Mark Teixeira, it changed everything because they got them back to a defensive first baseman that could bail out the other three infield spots. Tino Martinez, I'm starting my campaign. Should have his number retired by the Yankees.
I'll join you on that.
I'm not doing any campaign. I could care less. All right, so,
you surprised me there for a second.
I know, I really could care less. But I've always been big on what he meant to championships. He's not the star of stars, but you win because of you have a guy like that. And, all right, let's get to Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Sir, welcome. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me.
All right, 27% of possessions in the second half ended in a turnover last night. What is that doing to Penn State, especially when on the road like that?
I mean, it's tough. I think that Penn State has been content this year to embrace its identity, which is a team that is not going to be the Jim Ferry run up and down the court and try and score 80 points and beat you that way. So when you turn the ball over, you know, you're going against that method a little bit because, the idea is not only are you not in a high-scoring game, you're trying to limit the number of possessions that your opponent gets. So if you're having a hard time scoring, anytime you give the ball up is a chance for the other team to score, and I think, you know, that's obviously not good. It doesn't take a smart person to figure that out, but I think for Penn State in particular that the margin for error for this team on the road in particular has been small. So when you give the ball up, when it's going the other way, when you miss out on an opportunity to score and generate another chance for your opponent to score, that's not good. And I think we saw in a game like last night where Penn State, the last 5 minutes or so, you know, had plenty of opportunities to make the baskets they need to, but just didn't. You know, you go back to some of those possessions where you cough it up and it hurts you even more.
Right. So there's another part to it, too. Look, Maryland doesn't do this very often, about 5% of the time. And, I'm being literal about that. But they will go with a 2-2-1 press. They will drop into a 3-2 zone. They don't do it often, but they still do it. And Penn State worked on it. How disappointing was it had it to be for Micah Shrewsbury, knowing that they worked on it, that they didn't react well to it when they saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sort of thing drives any coach crazy. When you know what you worked on during the week, you know what you worked on over the course of the year, because Penn State, you know, early in the year struggled with the press too. And you go, look, we've been working on this for a long time. You get, you know, you face an opportunity to deal with it, and you don't handle it the way you want to. You know, I think that's where skill, that's where talent, that's where experience, that's where time together comes into play. And I'm sure it's frustrating, especially when it's something, you know, if a team comes out and throws something at you that you haven't seen or something you didn't work on, you try and adjust in game and you tip your hat to them for coming up with it. But if you know what your weakness is and they know it and they come out and they give it to you and you've worked on it and you can't execute the way you want to, sometimes it's just how it works in basketball or sports in general. But certainly, I think in this case, you go, man, you know you've worked on this and you can't quite figure it out when you need to. And I think, you know, that's going to give any coach a bit of a migraine.
Yeah, I mean, because believe me, because it was they worked on it, and that had to be so frustrating for Micah, because we went through how they wanted to go against it because they knew it was going to happen. They also knew it wasn't going to happen often. I mean, they had a really it's always interesting, and this isn't talked about enough. It doesn't really matter what they know. It's what as a coach, it's what they know, the players.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, especially for this Penn State team, you know, I've used this example once already today that, you know, you look back at the Michigan State game that Jim Ferry coached in, he draws up a play for Miles Dredd, and Miles gets an mm-hmm. open look, and it doesn't fall.
Right.
I think for coaches, in basketball in particular, you go, look, there's only, you know, if we're going to be a team that can't score at will, if we're going to be a team that doesn't always shoot well, we can be a team that doesn't turn the ball over. We can be a team that handles the things that we can control, because shooting the basketball at the end of the day is just a little bit of luck coupled with a lot of practice, and it's either going to go in or it doesn't. But you can control how you handle a press. So I think if you're Micah Shrewsbury in particular, and you go, look, we've worked on this, this is something we can control, these are mistakes we can limit, you know, that's always going to be frustrating, especially in a game like that one where you look back on it and go, man, there were a lot of possessions that could have swung this thing, and then they ultimately never did.
All right. So, what have you thought watching John Hara as time has gone, Ben?
I mean, I asked Tom Izzo after that Michigan State game that, you know, John has never been and will never be Kofi Coburn. He's never going to be Joel Embiid. He's never going to be, I mean, that goes for all of us, but he's never going to be this dominant, highly skilled Mike Watkins even kind of guy. But mm-hmm. you will not find somebody that works harder on the glass, that runs back on defense and on offense, that gives more every single night. And I think it makes him so much fun to watch. There's lots of finesse players that are fun to watch. There's lots of guys that are going to have longer, more higher profile careers than John Hara. But John, I mean, he plays every game like it's his last, and you have to tip your cap to him, because he's a guy who knows exactly who he is and who he isn't. And I think that, you know, we could all learn a little bit from that probably. And I give him a lot of credit for how he plays each and every night. I think it says a lot about John that I remember last year in particular, the number of coaches after games that would come up to him and have something to say. And I think he's really just a great example of what college basketball and college athletics can be all about. And, you know, to his credit, for whatever his limitations might be, he's going to be a guy that's going to play basketball somewhere because he does all these things. And that's a credit to how he approaches not only the preparation, but how he approaches each and every possession.
What did you think in the end of the Juwan Howard, Greg Gard decision?
You know, it's difficult. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, coaches are responsible for setting examples. They're responsible for showing people the right way to act. But at the same time, you know, if Michigan's able to get into the postseason and do anything, if you suspend Juwan Howard for too long, you start to impact a team that, you know, outside of a few kids, really didn't do anything. So I think, you know, it's tough. I think when you see something like that, you go, you've got to throw the book. And I, you know, do I think at the end of the day he got it off a little easy? You know, it was three more games than what the minimum suspension is supposed to be, you know, under the, I don't want to say the CBA, but the current Big Ten standards.
Right. Yeah, two games in 10,000 is all that Kevin Warren is allowed to do.
Yeah.
And unless they appeal to, and they did, and they got five games in 40,000.
Yeah, and I think the other side of this, too, is a lot of the things that we don't know. You know, I cannot imagine that they didn't have conversations with him You know, people look back at him kind of blowing up at Mark Turgeon, and I think things like that probably just happen, and it's not a huge deal. But I think you go, you know, what don't we know? Which is probably Michigan going, look, if you do this again, you're out the door, because sure, you had a good run a year or two ago, and this seems okay, but you're not Coach K, you're not Tom Izzo. We like you, but we can only spend so much cachet on loving Michigan men, and right now Jim Harbaugh is getting all of that cachet. So, you know, I imagine that there's other things that are said behind closed doors that kind of shorten that rope a little bit, or shorten that leash a little bit on Juwan Howard, and that's probably rightfully so, because, you know, there's emotions, there's passions, and things happen, and, you know, it happens. But it can't happen, and it can't happen like that. And I think that everybody in this equation has to understand that, and probably does at this point.
All right. Penn State's got Northwestern, Nebraska this weekend. Northwestern Friday, Nebraska Sunday, both at 7 o'clock in the Jordan Center. Those two teams, by the way, play each other tonight. Give me your preview of the weekend, what needs to happen for Penn State.
I mean, I think these are both games that Penn State can win, and I think it's been a weird season for Penn State, because I feel like on the one hand it has felt somewhat unremarkable, and on the other hand, you know, they're looking down a very legitimate chance of winning 7+ Big Ten games, which, you know as well as I do, doesn't come around super often, or at least always, for Penn State. So
you think I might know these things, really?
Yeah, I think you've probably noticed at some point that it can be a rarity. So I think, you know, are they going to make the tournament? Are they going to be wonderful and awesome and hang a banner? Probably not. But I think it says a lot about Penn State's season that you look at the Big Ten schedule at this point in the year and say, look, they can win some of these games. They can do things. They can feel pretty good about themselves. And I think, you know, that's the thing. But, you know, this Penn State team is like every other Penn State team for the most part. If they don't beat themselves, they have a chance. And I think if they can limit turnovers, if they can make their shots, they can win most of these remaining games. I'm not going to say that about Illinois, and Rutgers is a weird place to play in general, let alone this year. But, you know, they're going to have a puncher's chance in all of these games if they get out of their own way. So, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. And that's to their credit and to Micah Shrewsbury's credit, because I think at the beginning of the year, we knew they would be okay, but we didn't know how quote-unquote good they would be. And I think they've turned out to be a team that is playing serviceable basketball. And at the end of the day, they're having a chance pretty much every night out to win, and I think that's really, if you're a basketball team, if you're a basketball coach, that's all you can ask for.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much, Ben. Appreciate it. We'll see you Friday night.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
And it's Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. So today is 2/22/22. It's George Washington's birthday. More importantly, it's Amy Goloshevsky's birthday. So, Gary and Amy, two phenomenal people. Great family. So happy birthday to Amy. And, yeah, that's. So we have 1/11/11. Now we have 2/22/22. I'm sorry, there's no such thing as 3/33/33.
Correct.
Well, no, I tried to convince the suit of that this morning. It was a real struggle. All right.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so we're going to talk baseball in the last half hour because Tom Verducci of SI.com put together a phenomenal column on problems that they should be talking about but aren't. And it has to do with how the game is played. We touched on this yesterday. I talked about windows yesterday, how important windows are for sports, how important windows are for fans and stands, you know, trying to play college basketball. College basketball is built to be in a two-hour window. If it's done right, it's a two-hour window. Now, maybe 1:55, but no more than 2 hours. Hockey's about 2:15. I don't care whether it's college hockey or the NHL. About 215. The NBA is a little bit longer than college because obviously the game's 8 minutes longer. But the NBA is about 215 as well. The NFL's too long. They got to cut this somehow. Get this thing cut back. And college football's gone too long. And college football's got to find a way to cut out some time. And I did suggest, hey, look, knocking 5 minutes off a halftime. And look, I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to knock down what the Blue Band does. The Blue Band can go out and still do its show, have no problems. You don't need all that extra time where there's nothing happening out there after they leave the field. There's a lot of dead time until the players come back out. To me, when the band leaves the field, send the players back out. That's how you can get the 5 minutes. And then stop. Don't stop the clock on first downs. Go, go, go. If you want to keep the rule in for the final 2 minutes of a half, okay. Half in game, that's fine. That way you feel like you're extending it a little bit. The NFL is going to have its scouting combine next week, March 1 to 7. Then on the 16th of March, teams have to be under the $208 million cap by 4 o'clock for the top 51 players in the roster. League meeting is going to be done in person for the first time since 2019 in Palm Beach. Off-season programs begin for teams with new coaches. Then, of course, those with returning coaches, they can wait 2 weeks. NFL drafts in Vegas, the 28th to the 30th of April. Hall of Fame game is August 4th. First regular season game will be at SoFi Stadium with the Rams hosting somebody on September 8th. Penn State will open its season the week before on September 1st at Purdue on a Thursday night. So that's what the NFL looks like. We're going to talk with Neil Coulong next half hour. But windows are important not just for TV, but people within the stands. And, you know, in college basketball, fouls are down about 2 per game. You have to allow freedom of movement. The block charge thing is ridiculous. Too often it's called, the, you know, 90% of the time those are going to be blocks. They are not charges. But they get called 50-50 all the time. You sit there and go, no. It's not called the right way. But you've got to keep the game moving. I mean, last night's game, I mean, the last 4 or 5 games I've done, the games have flown by. And that's good for the fan. It's good for the fan. It's good for TV, and it's good for the fan in the stands. College football has to somehow figure out a way to pick up its pace. Again, when you have a sport that throws the ball more than ever, the NFL and college football, and the clock stops on every incompletion, it's going to take longer. So you got to figure out how to make up for that along the way. Baseball's got big problems. And that's what this conversation is leading into in the final half hour. Tom Verducci of SI.com, Penn State's own, wrote a brilliant column, well-researched, on the problem that they are facing. And the problem they're facing is that you get people who are into, quote, the efficiency of the game. Well, you know what? I think it's time to start getting rid of some of those people. We got to go back to playing baseball. As you know, one of my major complaints with analytics is quite simple. Analytics is absolutely a way to win. There is no getting around it. No getting around it. So it always has to be considered. But the difference is that as somebody who's done this for a long time, I recognize there are lots of ways to win. And analytics happens to be one of them. People who believe in analytics think it's the only way to win. Au contraire, mon frère. We'll talk about that because the efficiency experts have taken over baseball, and Tom Verducci graphically shows how much it's hurting.